You're watching a Highwire Media podcast.
Hello, welcome back to the True Crime Never Sleeps show. I'm so happy to have you here today. We're going to be doing a video cold case. So I'm actually going to be talking about a case that I found on Netflix. I actually hadn't heard about it before. It intrigued me. I find it extremely sad, and it just struck something in me, and I want to share it with you all. The case actually takes place back on April 15th, 2004. In Cumming, Georgia. This is about Patrice Andres. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Her son's name, I know for sure, is Black, so if I said her name wrong, apologies. She was described as being absolutely beautiful. You could tell that she was completely full of life. She was like a woman that when she walked into the door, she just made the room shine. Everyone knew her. She was the town hairdresser, and she just always had a passion for hair and making people feel beautiful. She wanted to do that. She knew she wanted to do that since she was a little girl. She went to school, started in different salons, and worked for other people. Then, ultimately, she had her own salon. That was, you know, where everyone went. People loved to just go in there, get their hair done, get a haircut, hang out with her for a little while because she was just so easygoing and just amazing to talk to. Patrice's son, Pistol, at this point, he was in 10th grade. His mom and dad were divorced, but they always got along. They stayed complete best friends to benefit him and to have good co-parenting for him. He was very thankful for that. But he lived with his mom, so it was him and his mom, and they had the greatest bond. She lived for her son. She would wake up in the morning by running on the treadmill. He said that he would be sleeping in his room and he would just hear the thump, thump, thump of the treadmill, and that is what would wake him up in the morning. That's the type of person that she was, just very full of life, full of energy, and she just spread that to people. Patrice ultimately met a man named Rob. He was actually 20 years older than her. She was 30 years old when they met, and he was 50. And they just completely fell in love. He adored her, the light of his life. He would do anything for her. He was very protective of her. And very much like, she's mine. Possessive, I guess you could say. But a lot of people said that they had what looked like a great relationship, and he treated her well. And when I watched him talk about her, I literally wrote down in my notes, oh my god, he loved her so much. You could just see it on him. He absolutely adored her. So the morning of April 15th, 2004, Pistol was woken up by his mom on the treadmill, like normal. She was full of life, she was going to the salon that day, he had school. They did fight a little bit on the way to school because he wanted to leave early. He had a girlfriend he wanted to go early enough to spend time with her before class started. She was running behind and late, so they got into an argument. It wasn't a big fight, but it was, you know, something over something small. Something you kind of think is pretty normal, honestly, in families. It's something that you can look back on, something that he can look back on, and probably think, shouldn't really have been upset about that, but you know, we don't know what life has in store for us. So there isn't anything that you can do. People just react instantly to their emotions in life. For whatever reasons, whether they be selfish or not, it's okay. But he was upset with her because he wanted to be there early. I mean, he's in 10th grade and in love, you know, young love, he wants to see his girlfriend. So she drops him off and he goes to class like usual. Pistol is in his biology class. Someone from the office comes and gets him out of class. And he didn't find that odd because he was somewhat of a troublemaker, so you know, he just figured, who knows what I'm in trouble for. They took him back to the office, and there was an officer sitting there who asked him if he heard from his mom at all today. Pistol said, you know, this morning I did, but... So he tried calling her three times, and she didn't answer. Usually always, like 100% of the time, if she did not answer when he called within a couple minutes, she would call him back. Like I said before, Pistol was her life. She lived for him, it was them two against the world. So it was really odd for her to, one, not answer his call, and two, not to get back to him immediately. So he did think, something's up, because my mom always answers. They take Pistol, and they leave the school, and they actually go to her salon. Now the first thing that they notice as soon as they get to the salon is, well, the police presence around there. And he's thinking like, oh my god, this is actually serious. But his mom's car is usually parked on the side of her salon, so it's like on a road, kind of like a highway type, a main road. I don't know what to call it. I call it a highway, but it's not really a highway. It's just a busy main busy road that her salon sat on, and she usually parks on the side of it. So then you have the front parking for the client. Well, this time her car was kind of pulled in front of the salon, so that was completely different and not normal at all. So that's the first thing that is noticed that's different. What had happened was a client was supposed to come and have an appointment, and when she showed up, Patrice wasn't there. Everything was normal. It looked like she was making lunch, it was in the microwave. The only thing that was different was her car and the cash register was open. But everything else was the same. It didn't look like a struggle had happened. It just looked like she walked out the door, and that was it. Patrice's husband, Rob, he got a call and, of course, went to the salon immediately. And the cops right away, you know, want to question him. And Rob even says in a documentary that he studied criminology, so he was aware that he was going to be questioned. And they told him, "We will see you down in the station." So he knew they always look at the partner first. So he didn't find that odd or anything. He wasn't nervous, but he did go down to the station. So the police are trying to figure out, maybe she just up and left. Maybe she was sick of her life. Maybe she wasn't as happy as everyone thought she was. She wanted to start her life somewhere else. And everyone around them was like, no, she would never ever leave her son. If she was to leave or go anywhere, she would always take her son. No way she would just leave him. So that was completely out of the question. Also, she was supposed to meet a friend. One of her friends would go there all the time just to hang out in the afternoon. And her friend was supposed to go there, but she had called to make sure it was okay for her to show up. And there was no answer, which was, again, odd. So the police have all these people saying this is very strange for her to just up and disappear. Not answer phone calls, all these things. So they did absolutely everything that they could. They had search parties, and this is like right away. Like they figured all this stuff out immediately. They had search parties, they had helicopters looking for her, they had dogs out looking for her, and they found nothing. They started interviewing the people that saw her that morning, and she did have a couple of clients. A client that she had said that she was not very attentive, usually she was. She made people feel special when she did their hair, so for her to not be as attentive and just kind of in her own world was off for her, and her client said that. That's how she was that morning. And when the police got the phone records back, it showed that at 11:37, Patrice was on the phone with a client that was canceling the appointment for the day. And then at 11:50, so just 15 minutes later, that friend was supposed to come out to come hang out, called, and there was no answer. So they were focusing in on that time frame because it was really odd. Pistol mentioned that a few weeks prior to this day, he didn't think anything of it, but his mom did ask him, you know, if anything were to happen to me, where would you go? What would you do? And he just said, you know, I'd go with my dad. But he didn't ask any questions about it. He just thought maybe she was, you know, some people just start thinking about the future just in case something happens. You want to have a plan and all that kind of stuff. But he found it really odd that it was just a couple of weeks prior to when she disappeared. So the police discovered that there were two witnesses that saw or passed the salon when another car was parked outside around that time frame that they were looking at, within that 15-minute time frame. So a woman did see her car, Patrice's car, pulled to the side to like the front of the building. And she noticed it because, like we mentioned, it's not like that usually, so it stuck out to her. And there was what she thinks is a Chevy Lumina with Georgia plates that was parked right in the front. And she said that she saw two ladies, tall lady and a short lady, and then a man. A different witness said that he saw the cars parked that way. He said the car that he saw was a blue 99 Ford Taurus, and he thought he saw a woman and a man. So both saw cars that looked similar, just couldn't make out the person that she was with and the exact make of the car. But someone who's...
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There, and there was two witnesses. Remember when I said that when I saw Rob, Patrice's husband, for the first time, I wrote down in my notes, oh my God, he loves her so much. He struck me as a really sweet man. I felt so sad for him, and he kind of pulled on my heartstrings. And I usually have pretty good, I mean, I can usually read people pretty well. Well, this is where things take a turn. Pistol claims that when he was 8 or 9 is when his mom met Rob and they started dating. Rob was fantastic. He was wonderful to his mom. He was wonderful to him. He was obviously attempting to be his stepdad. He was involved in things and really stepping up, and it was great. It was about a year that they were together when everything changed. Rob started to be cruel to Pistol. He would walk past him in the house and say really mean things to him. He would act like he didn't even exist. It was a really hard home life for Pistol. And he made it very uncomfortable for him. Rob was very possessive of Patrice. He was jealous of her friends. He did not like when she went out with her friends. And he was jealous of her son. The relationship that they had because her son was number one to her. And he didn't like that. And it was obvious in the way that he treated Pistol. Now in the interview, Rob says that Pistol was jealous of his relationship with his mom. And that she didn't like to discipline him at all. And he would get away with things. He straight up said that he saw no future in him. I saw no future in that kid. It really, his personality like switched when he started talking about Pistol and their relationship and the way that he feels about him. It was cold and cruel, and I don't understand how you can be so in love with someone and so cold to their child. So Pistol says that his mom was actually planning to divorce Rob because of how mean he was to Pistol. But Rob didn't know that this was going to happen. She didn't, you know, show any signs or anything like that, and she kept it a secret. But she was really planning on leaving him. And of course, Rob said that can't be true and that they never fought. Which even the best, most healthy couples fight. It's not healthy to not fight. So this is where you can see the complete change in Rob. It's disturbing and he's just nasty. So the day that Patrice went missing is the last day that Pistol was in the home that he shared with Rob and his mom. He stayed at his dad's house. He went back the next day because he needed to get a couple things. I mean, he didn't live there. Rob, this is one day Patrice is missing. One day, and Rob has changed all the locks. And he would be inside the house and completely ignore the knocking that Pistol was doing to get inside. The kid is in 10th grade. He's a child who just, you know, is going through his mom missing. And his stepdad completely changes the locks on him. And doesn't let him in to get anything. Doesn't even acknowledge him that he's outside. And Rob says that he didn't want him in the house. He did not want that kid in the house. And for me, that's kind of a huge red flag for me. Because if your wife, if you think that she's only missing, she could have run off. She could have, you know, like if she has the potential to come home, you're completely destroying what little relationship you have with her child. You kicked him out. You changed the locks. You won't let him touch any of his stuff. He can't have any of his mom's things. That is one day missing. And that's a huge red flag for me, and there's something wrong there. Pistol says that he loved living with his dad. His dad had a farm, and he would help him on the farm, but his life really took a turn after his mom went missing. His dad fell into a depression because they, even though they were divorced, were best friends, and his dad was having a really hard time coming to terms with the fact that she was gone. So in a sense, Pistol lost his mom and his dad that day. The police had quite a few suspects around this case. There was a murderer who was pulled in for different cases. His name was Gary Hilton, and he is interviewed and questioned because he actually was around that area during that time. And his favorite place to rob was the salon. He thought that was like the simplest thing to hit, and he would usually go around lunchtime, so it fit him perfectly. He also didn't have an alibi for where he was during that time. So they really thought they had the guy with Gary Hilton. Another suspect that they had was Jeremy Jones. He enjoyed sexually abusing women. During that time, he murdered 6 to 8 women. And he actually, while in custody, admitted that he took Patrice. He said that he went inside the salon, told her that his car needed a jump, and he ultimately took her. Told her that he was going to kill her, and that he eventually threw her in the creek. They searched everywhere. They really, really pulled out all the stops for her in the search parties and things like that, and they couldn't find her. So they have one guy who has no alibi, who it fits his MO, and then they have this guy who's saying that he did it, but they have no proof. So they just aren't sure. Later on, Jeremy Jones did retract that statement. He murdered her and threw her in the creek. He said that he lied. The police weren't completely positive on what to believe there. Because he did have some details that they didn't tell anyone, so they weren't quite sure what they believed. If he actually did do it, or you know that he redacted his statement and that he didn't do it, so they really had nothing to go on. And it was December 6, 2005. It was exactly 600 days from the day Patrice went missing that there were two men out in the mountains building a little part off a church that the man owned. And so they were working on it all day and they were about to have some lunch. They stepped outside and he saw buzzards flying near the wooded area. So, you know, he thought, I'm going to have my lunch and then I'm going to go check out what is dead down there because obviously something's dead. So him and the other man walked down there, and he did see a deer laying there. And the other man said, yep, but what's by your foot? And when he turned, he saw a human skull. So, like, what a coincidence there. That's like, they spent a day and a half casing that entire area where they found the skull. They wanted every bone that they could find, and they collected everything. And they did positively identify it as Patrice. They kept her skeletal remains for a year, trying to figure everything out, and then they were released. At the funeral, Rob asked the funeral home to lay out her bones, as if, you know, put them together, pretty much, so he could see her one last time, and he was given some time with her in that way. Then he had her cremated and has her ashes. He claims that he has slept with her ashes. In the documentary, he opens them up and looks at them for the first time, and he gets very emotional. And he says how he would never share her with anyone, especially Pistol. Would never share her with him. It's just so extremely sad. He's so mean in that way. He's so mean. Like, this is Pistol's mom. Pistol, to this day, thinks that Rob had something to do with it. Rob was looked into, and he does have an alibi. He was at home. He had to go to a gas station, time-stamped. It was 45 minutes away from the salon at that time. And then he went to work. So he was also time-stamped at work as well. So there was just no way for Rob to be at the salon during that time. It doesn't rule out a murder for hire, but they can't prove that either. They have nothing to prove that. So it's unsolved. They have no idea what happened to her, no idea who did it, and to this day, Pistol never got any of his things back. He never got anything from his mom from that house. And Rob has her ashes, and he refuses to share anything with her son. I just find that to be so sad and evil. Even if Rob had nothing to do with her murder, it's just plain evil. Like, give the kid his stuff. Like, if he didn't do it, just give him his stuff and let him go live with his dad and you won't have to talk to him anymore. But anyways, but I want to know what you think of this case. I want to know if you think it was one of the two murderers that they suspected, if you think it was Gary Hilton, if you think it was Jeremy Jones, or if you think it was Rob or someone else. What do you suspect happened to her? And if you know anything else about this case, let me know in the comments section below. And if you have any suggestions on other cases, any unsolved cases, anything like that, please leave them in the comments for me because I love getting ideas and different things. So I had fun doing this video. Okay. And this was an interesting episode on Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix if you want to watch the actual episode. And with that, if you want to support the channel, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We will see you next time.